you've never read the Bible before, do not have access to one, offer you a copy of the entire New Testament this afternoon, yours to take and do with as you will. It's the Word of God. It has the ability to make a person wise for salvation, is His testimony, lead you to a knowledge of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, in whom alone is to be found salvation, in no other name, only Jesus Christ. So you like to have a copy of God's Word, say it's offered to you freely, without any charge and any cost to you, yours to take and do with as you will. If you'd like one, come and ask for one. The Bible is given to us not to make us religious, but to save us, to lead us to God's salvation, to a knowledge of the true and living God, the one whom you know exists the same as I do. Everybody knows you have the revelation of the knowledge of God. Of course, without Jesus, without the Son of God, without God's salvation, that's a revelation of wrath, His holy displeasure, because of the suppression of the truth of that knowledge in unrighteousness. And God, of course, in His Word, the Bible, from beginning to end, message of salvation, redemption, how God calls a man or woman out from under that suppression of the truth and out from under that wrath of God that is expressed as a result of that suppression of the truth. The Gospel, the Word of God, it reads thus, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. A promise, an assurance that God will be to you not just a God, but a Father too. Of course, the Bible describes the world as being in a frightful, frightful condition. That's why God's call comes, come ye out from amongst them, because, well, as God says in His Word, the whole world lies in wickedness, under the sway of the god of this age, the devil, Satan. And of course, to a man, to a woman, all of us, born in sin, conceived, born in sin, sinners by nature, and so therefore sinners by practice, we're all part of it. The frightful condition in which we see the world today, of course, we can lay the blame at the feet of others. It's these drug artists, you might say. It's these pedophiles. It's, you know, some brand of sinner, you know, that's not common to you yourself. We all, it's the language of Adam, you see, our first parent after he sinned. We all want to blame other people. It's not my fault, it's the fault of other people. But of course, we're all part and parcel of this world in which we live, and we're all responsible. We've all added to it. You know, in the Gospel, Jesus, He says that out of the hearts of men proceed, men and women that is, proceeds evil thoughts. And those evil thoughts, of course, they turn into evil actions. But that's where it comes from, you see. All the evil, all the wickedness, all that stuff that you and I, that we complain of, that we see in the world, that we see in our society, it all comes out of the hearts of men and women such as yourself and myself. We have, all of us, hearts that are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, says God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous as God, no, not one. So you see the frightful condition in which we find the world today. We've all of us, you and I both, we've all of us contributed to it. But the answer, of course, is not to remain amongst it. The answer, of course, is to turn our backs upon the world, its ways, its system, its influence, which is only and always wickedness all the time. And of course, turning your back upon the world means, coming out from the world means, well, you turn to something else, because you leave off from one. You naturally got to find something or someone else. You know, it's when you hold down the truth, when you suppress the truth of the knowledge of God in your unrighteousness, you exchange the truth for a lie. Well, you see, you turn to something else. And well, what the majority of people do, at least in our land today anyway, is, well, they substitute, you know, God, His power, His love, His mercy, His kindness for this nonsense called evolution. You know, they turn to emptiness, to vanity of mind, to futility of thinking. And of course, in turn, well, God, He gives you over to that more and more, to that way of thinking, wrong thinking, and of course to wrong practices. Wrong thinking, you see, inevitably leads to wrong practice. What you think, you see, in your heart, what you believe in your heart, so important. It will define, you see, who you are, what you are, and what kind of person you will be, and how you will behave. So you see, that's why the world in which you live, and I today, is in a frightful and terrible condition. Wickedness abounds on every front, the world over. And it's growing, it's waxing worse and worse. Evil men will wax worse and worse, Jesus tells us. They won't grow better. See, the truth of the matter is, friends, we're not evolving at all. You know, you see, well, I believe in evolution. I believe I was once a monkey, an ape, and now I'm a human being. You know, evolution, development, you know. Well, if that's true, wouldn't we still be evolving? And wouldn't you be developing into something better? It seems to me that, you know, you're going the opposite way. The world's going the opposite way. It's not developing. It's not evolving. It's degenerating. Just, of course, as the Bible says that it would. It's God's testimony, you see. Evil men will wax worse and worse. They won't grow better. They won't improve. They're going to get worse and worse, and the closer you get to the end, well, the worse it will be. So God's call, you see, this frightful condition in which you find the world today, God's call is, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will be a father unto you. I will receive you. But of course, you can only be received by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way back to God. You can turn your back in the world, but that in itself, that's not enough. That's not sufficient. You know, that won't improve your status. That won't improve your condition any which way. In turning from the world, you got to turn to Jesus Christ, God's Son, in the way of repentance and faith, and God will receive you. And God will transform, reform you. God will make you a new creature in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the answer, friends. World lies in wickedness. It's unclean, it's defiled, it's unacceptable to God. You see, friends, there's no neutrality between the world and the kingdom of God. No neutrality, no common ground whatsoever. World in its state and condition is totally and unacceptable to God and is fit for and ready for judgment. And that judgment, of course, is going to come. God says it's going to be consumed with fire. Not going to be flooded again like He did before, but it will be judged again. It will be consumed. Fervent heat is how the Bible puts it. It's going to be destroyed. You want to be destroyed with it? You want to face the flames, the fire with it? The judgment of God? Come ye out from amongst them, says God, and be separate. Separate yourself from the wicked world and its wicked system and its wicked ways. And God will receive you and God will be a father to you. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, of course, it's salvation, you see, that God promises for all those who hear His call, who hear it not with the outward hearing of the ear. Oh, you can all hear me and Hanley this afternoon. I don't doubt with your ears. Maybe you don't like what you're hearing, don't want to hear what you're hearing, but you're hearing. But this is the person I'm talking about who hears with the inward ear of the soul. He hears the still small voice of God calling to them, crying to them, come out from amongst them and be ye separate. You hear the call of God, you obey the call of God, you come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He receives you. He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him, but to as many as did receive Him, the Bible tells us, Jesus that is, who believed in His name, to them He gave power, He gave authority, He gave the right to become children of God. Entered into the family of God, out from the world, and into the family of God, into the kingdom of God. But these are things, of course, we know, we understand, that unless a man or woman, unless God breathes life into your soul first, for, you see, you'll be dead, you know, not just a little bit dead, you know, not just a big bit dead, but all dead, totally dead, completely dead to God, that is, to spiritual life, to an understanding even of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, unless God breathes the breath of life into you first, you know, you're just a corpse, a living corpse, if I might put it that way. Sounds a bit Irish, I know, but it's the truth. You'd be walking, breathing, talking, but just walking, breathing, talking, lumps of sin, dead to God and dead to His kingdom, dead to His salvation, unless God first of all breathes the breath of life into you. Except a man be born again, he can't see, he cannot understand, he cannot perceive the kingdom of God, these things of which I speak to you. So God, you see, first He must act. He must do something. He must make a change in you. And God does that through the gospel, through the proclamation of the gospel, the good news concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the society of the world is in a natural state of death. It's in a natural state of wickedness. And as a result of that, of course, under the cloud of God's wrath. None righteous is God, not a one. None who does good, that is for God's glory, you know, with an intent to please God, done in faith through the Son of God. Oh, you might help your neighbor. You might help old ladies across the street. You might give money to charity. You might give money, you know, to those who are starving, perhaps. Good things to do. But if it's not done for God, if it's not done through faith in Jesus Christ, then in God's terms, it's not good. If it's not for His glory. So You see, friends, every man, woman, and child born into this world is not good because of the fact, you see, as God says, we are conceived, we're born in sin. We come from our mother's wombs. You see, we come into the world, you see, as little bitty babies with our fists in our Maker's face, you know, in rebellion against God right from the get-go, right from the very start. And so unless there's a change, unless there's been a time, you see, in your life when you've been born again. Some people, the religious people in particular, they come to me and say that they have been, and I ask them, well, what does that mean? And they say, well, I've been baptized, you know, in a church, maybe as an infant, as a child, or maybe perhaps even as an adult. But that's not what Jesus means by being born again. He means a change of, well, cataclysmic, really, proportions, you know. It's a change of the heart of your innermost being. It's a change of your worldview, how you see things, you know. Totally, completely, utterly changed, you know. And you find yourself with desires that you never had before. A desire for God, a love for God, a seeking after God, a reading of God's Word. You can't leave the book alone. It's alive. It was nothing but boredom to you before to hear the Bible being read or to read it to yourself. But now the book's alive. It speaks to you. It knows you, instructs you, teaches you in the way of righteousness. Unless you see that change, unless that change has taken place in your heart, in your life, in your innermost being, unless you've been born again, you're still in the state, the fearful, fearful state and condition that the rest of the world's in, a state of wickedness, of evil, rampant evil that's growing worse by the day. Come out from amongst them, says God, and be ye separate, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you. You see, in your nature you belong to the world. We all do in our natures. Natural born sinners, natural born God haters. That's why conversion is necessary, absolutely necessary. It's not enough for you just to, well, I started going to church, you see. Not a bad thing to do if it's a good church, if it preaches the gospel. You say, well, you know, I started reading the Bible. Good thing. Keep on. Keep on. Let me not hinder you from these things at all. But that in itself is not enough. There are people who attend church and have attended church all the days of their lives but have never been converted. Has there been a time in your life, I ask you, in your experience, you know, when you have been converted, when you have turned from your sin deliberately and willingly and consciously, forsaken the world and its ways, abandoned it and turned to God through His Son Jesus Christ and been converted, become a follower of Jesus Christ? Because that's what it means to be a Christian. But unless you've been converted, unless you become as children, Jesus says, not in your behavior, we can all manage that quite well, you know, without being converted. You know, as children, you know, that childlike trust, that simplicity of faith, just simply taking God at His word and doing what He says. Unless you're converted, unless you become His children and be converted, Jesus says, you shall in no way enter God's kingdom, God's heaven. You must be converted. And that's the implication of God's words here, you see. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, you see. It's a turning point. It's a major, major turning point in your life. You make the deliberate decision, willful decision, I'm done with the world and its ways, and I'm turning to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to take Him at His word. I'm going to believe and trust in His word. And then, of course, well, you know, there's a grave danger, you know. Because sin's more than just a bad day. It's more than just a bout of depression. You know, it causes that, but of course, it's much, much worse than that. A grave, grave danger, because you see, the world's for destruction. Heaven's fire's going to fall upon it one day. You see, there's something to be saved from. Your sin, its consequences, the final outworking of it in your life. Bible, God tells us that He punishes sin with more sin. You know? You see, this is the trouble, you know? When you start into sin, you know, you think it feels like freedom. I know, I understand. It feels like freedom. You say, Eureka, I can do what I please, you know? I can go with this, I can enjoy it. It's wonderful, it's freedom. It feels that way to begin with. But then the sin takes hold of you. You know, you stand up, you say, you know, I can handle the booze, it won't control me, you know, but then it takes hold of you. I can try the drugs, I'll control it, but then it takes hold of you. It's like a roller coaster ride, you know, in Alton Towers, up and down, and you're flying, and you think this is wonderful. But the trouble is, sin doesn't bring you back to the place where you started. It dumps you in the lake of fire at the end. It's not freedom at all. Ah, friends, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you'll be saved from such an end as that. Saved from sin taking hold of you, controlling you, destroying you, and dumping you at the end in the lake of fire. Jesus will deliver you to heavenly glory. So you see, friends, the gospel, and the gospel alone, you see, not religion, but the gospel alone, you see, presents you with the possibility of escape. If you will but hear God's call to come out from among them. Escape, you see. How shall we escape, you know, if we neglect such great salvation? God poses a question that He doesn't answer because, well, the answer's logical. If you neglect God's salvation, if you neglect God's call to come out from among them and be separate, well, you won't escape. There is no escape, but by means of the gospel. Gospel God, you see, Himself has provided the means. You see, well, what are the means? God sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to destroy sin, to condemn sin, to make an end of sin. God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God so loved the world that He gave this sinful, wicked world lying in wickedness, and God so loved that He sent His only begotten Son. And that to live and love and die again and rise again from the dead. To justify sinners, to give them new life, to give them hope, eternal life. Oh, dear friends, God has provided the means, and those are the means, the only means. The gospel's the only possibility of escape. There is not one iota of salvation outside the gospel of Jesus Christ in any religion. Nothing but damnation, friends. Nothing at all. But in Christ, you see, if you will come, if you will obey God's call. Hello, my dear, how are you doing?
God bless you.
And you too, ma'am. Thank you very much.
I'm a fellow Christian.
Are you?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful.
It's hard work somewhere like here because we are the minority, my friend.
Yes, we are. Hard work anywhere.
A white person and a Christian, a minority.
yeah. No worry. We keep on, eh?
We keep praying for
that's
them.
That's it, yeah, that's it.
They don't pray for us, though.
No, they can't. They can't.
They come running to us. Uh-huh. Oh, such and such is ill. Will you pray for us, please?
Well,
Of course we do.
Yeah, that's a privilege.
It shouldn't be, but it should be both ways.
They should be paying themselves that, huh? Yeah.
But they don't believe in sin. They don't believe.
No,
they don't
no.
believe that you can be healed.
That's right.
It's because people tell them that. Same as some of the American preachers that do wrong. They say, oh, your child is ill, and terminally ill, because you have done something wrong with and everything in your life. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And they believe it. These people believe it.
I know. It's
not true. You've got to give £1,000 a month.
Tell me.
You have to give me £1,000. I've heard them on the Living channel.
I know.
I'm that gives us a bad name.
Yes, it
the
does.
The ones who are actually trying to help us.
Absolutely.
You know,
yes.
We're trying to help people.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's awful.
But they do, don't they?
Yeah.
You only have to go on one channel.
Yeah.
Of the God channel.
I don't watch it.
They tell these these people that don't really know about what it says in the Bible.
Yeah.
And they've got this terminal ill child.
Yeah.
Or a terminal ill person doesn't have to be
child. It's cruelty.
And then they say, you have to give us £3,000 before you can be healed.
Yeah, it's extreme cruelty. terrible.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. God bless you, my dear. Have a good day. Yeah?
And all we can do is you know, you see there's so many...
Pray for them.
Yeah.
Pray for them.
Yeah.
That's it.
What church are you actually representing at the moment?
Well,
what denomination?
Gervais here is from. I'm a Presbyterian, but Gervais here is from the church at Bethel. You know, down on Hope Street.
Oh yes.
Bethel Evangelical.
Oh yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's a good church.
Are you the new pastor?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Would you let me just carry on?
Sorry.
It's okay, I don't mind. It's okay, it's fine. Gervais will talk to you,
Jacob
Mason. So you see, friends, if you would but obey God's call, you know, come out from amongst them and be ye separate, I will receive you, I will be a father to you. You receive a welcome, you know, in Jesus Christ, because he promises, you know, that he will in no wise cast out anyone who comes to him, any sinner, anyone who sincerely, you know, repentantly turns their back on the world, its ways and its system, and turns to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, is welcomed, you know, with open arms, received gladly. And received, of course, into a society of cleanness, of holiness. A transformation that, well, you never dreamed, you never thought possible. You know, God taking the heart of stone out of you and giving you a heart of flesh. You know, giving you new desires, a desire to love God, to please God, to live for God, to obey his commandments. But you see, this is the gospel. I will pour clean water upon you. I will give you a new heart, and then you'll obey me, says God. This is the gospel, friends. It's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, not for all who are religious. Religion won't do this for you. Religion won't change you on the inside. Might change you on the outside. Might change places you go, might change things you do, might change the way you dress, but it won't change you on the inside, won't change your heart, won't make you a new person, won't take the hatred out of your heart for God and for his people. You see, only the gospel, only the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, can do this. And that's what God calls you to. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, more than a God, a father to you. Protection, provision for all of your needs. And of course, deliverance from the evil and the wickedness of the world. Saved. Salvation, you see, is what the Bible's about. Beginning to end, start to finish.
And everything has to be
so. So that's the society of the world, the wickedness, But the separation of course, you know, that God would have you to make is a spiritual one, not a physical one. There's none of us can leave the world physically. I mean, we might like to sometimes. We might feel that that would be the best thing that we can do, but we can't do that. It's a spiritual separation. It's a heart business, you see. It's being convinced, you see, of your own state and sin, you know. Because sin, you see, is common to every single one of us. It's the one common denominator that binds the whole human race together. You know, we're all sinners. And we've all contributed to the mess that the world's in. So you see, it's a call, you know, to a realization and awareness, you know, of your own sin, your personal involvement in it. And I tell you this, friends, you know, sin's more than just, well, you know, we've all done things wrong, you know, we've all made mistakes. It's much, much more than that. I tell you, when God convinces you of your sin, you'd swim shark-infested waters to get to Jesus Christ, because only He can save you. Only He can deliver you from it, from its effects, you know, in this life, in this world. Only Jesus Christ can save you from its full, final consequences. It's a realization that you need to be born again. You must be born again. But if unless you're born again, the day will come when you'll wish you'd never been born at all. The blindness, you see, is removed. God takes the veil away, you know, from your eyes, and you begin to see what you could never see before. The reality of your sin, the reality of the state of the world, and the reality of God and His salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. I once was blind, but now I see, the hymn writer says. Blinded by sin and blinded in sin. And that's why the world does the things that it does. You know, you read about things, you read about atrocities that are committed. And not just in the Middle East, here in the West, here in our own country, heaven-bearing abominations that are performed by men and women in our own society. You see, how can they do such things as that? Because they're blinded to the reality of their sin. Men and women who think they can do such things with impunity, they think there's no accountability, they think they can do as they please. But friends, when God opens your eyes, when He removes the veil, when He takes away the blindness and you see the horror of your own sin, I tell you, it will strike your own conscience. It will bring to remembrance things that you've said and done in the past, and it will haunt you. It will haunt you. The skeletons will be rattling in the cupboard. But friends, you'll know this too. You'll know what to do with that guilty conscience. You'll know that all the booze in the world will not get rid of it. All the drugs in the world, legal or otherwise, will not deal with your guilty conscience. There's only one thing, and that's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners. That's where to take your guilt. Place it beneath the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners like you and I today, that you might have a good conscience, that your conscience might be cleared in the court of heaven, that God might pronounce you not just not guilty, but righteous through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, friends. It's what Christ came for. It's what He died for. For the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. Rose again from the dead for sinners. To justify them, make them right with God, and to give them new life. But you got to come out, says God. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And I will receive you. I will be a father to you. The blindness removed. and persuaded, friends, that unless you're born again, unless you repent and believe the gospel, you face eternal ruin. Not just ruin in this world. There are men and women who have ruined their life. I've had youngsters, not even out their teens, standing in front of me, bawling their eyes out, yeah? Not even into their late teens, and they're telling me, I've already ruined my life. I've wasted it. I wish I could start again. Well, if that applies to 14 and 15 year olds, how much more does it apply to those of you who are adults, aged even? Some men and women who have ruined themselves, ruined their lives with gossip and hatred, with anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, drugs, alcohol, immorality. They've wrecked themselves, their bodies. But that's not the end of it. The end of it's eternal ruin. If we do not repent, if we do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do not come out from amongst the wickedness of the world and its ways and its system, come out, says God, and I will receive you through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, this is soundness, friends. This is God's eternal plan of salvation. Plan, you know, thought up in the mind of God even before He created the world. That He would send His Son into the world to save and to rescue rebels, sinners. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's determinate counsel that wicked, evil, cruel men should take His Son and nail Him to a cross. People ask the question, was it the Jews who crucified Jesus? No. Was it the Romans? No. Who was it? It was His Father. It was God. His plan, that His Son should be nailed to a cross so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be washed and made clean. God's eternal plan.
No.
You part of that? You're going to be part of it? You're going to come out? Are you going to repent? Are you going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to receive God's salvation? But that provision's been made by God. And it's all revealed in the Bible. You won't find this in the Quran. You won't find it in the Quran. There's no forgiveness there. There's no blood sacrifice there. The prophet Moses says, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. There's no blood sacrifice in the Quran, in the Hadith. None at all. So how can they have forgiveness? It's impossible. But God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice, His own Son, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, crucified for sin. For those, that is, who repent, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation is offered. And it's God's purpose, you see, in sending Jesus. You see, how do you know that God offers me salvation? How do you know that God wants me saved? Well, He sent His Son, didn't He? And His Son came and He lived and loved and died. His Son came, He endured the cross. He shed His precious blood. His arms were stretched out on that cross, held to that cross, not by the nails, but by His love for sinners such as you and I, that we might be right with God, justified freely by the grace of God. You see, it's free, it's all free. Come without money. says God, without price. No cost to you. The cost was all on God's side. Cost was all on the side of Jesus Christ. He paid the price. He's paid it in full. It's all been paid. He made blood. He made peace by the blood of his cross. But that peace has to be received by you willingly, consciously, deliberately, in faith, believing that Jesus died for your sins, that Jesus rose from the dead to give you new life. But if thou canst believe, Jesus says, all things are possible to him that believeth. Question is not can Jesus save you, the question is can you believe? Will you believe?
Again,
if you can believe, says Jesus, all things are possible to the one who believes, even your salvation this very day, if you will but repent and believe the gospel. You see, the ability is not yours. You're not able to save yourself. I'm not able to save myself. The ability is not with you. The ability is not with me. The ability is not with men. The ability is with God, with His Son Jesus Christ, able, I tell you, to save to the uttermost all who come to God through His Son Jesus Christ. By His precious blood shed for sinners. Oh, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? I don't ask you, you're religious. I don't ask you, do you do the beads? I don't ask you, do you do the seven stations of the cross, the five pillars of Mecca? I'm asking you, have you been washed in the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ? Because unless you have, you're still in your sin. And friends, God calls you today, come out from amongst them and be ye separate. And I will receive you and I will be a father to you. God's call to come to obey your Maker. He has revealed His wrath and He is revealing His wrath against all ungodliness of men. But He has also revealed His righteousness, revealed His salvation, revealed His Son Jesus Christ, that through Him that you might be delivered from the wrath to come. So don't delay. Don't continue on and sleep. Awaken out of your slumber of death and obey the call of God. Come to Him through God's Son, Jesus Christ, who bids you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, peace for your souls. But the longer you leave it, the harder it becomes, the more cynical, the more unbelieving you become. And the time is uncertain, friends. The time is uncertain. You don't know what a day brings forth. This may be, who knows, your last opportunity of hearing the overtures of God's love. This may be the last opportunity. This may be your last day on planet Earth. Who knows? God alone knows. Time is short, friends. Now is the time, says God, the accepted time of God's favor. Come to Him. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will receive you with open arms. He will receive you and be a father to you. Come to Him, friends, today. Repent or perish. Repent or perish. The first word of the gospel, repent. First recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Friends, this afternoon, why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. I bid you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, this very afternoon, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Ah, dear friends.